But let's get in the Word of God this morning. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to read a verse of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, and then we'll be back in Genesis for the main preaching text of it. But in Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 7, says this. It says, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And by this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we have an opportunity to hear from you, God. And Lord, today as we hear about this man named Noah, I pray that that we too would come to know you and that we would live a life that pleases you, Lord. And I pray that we would be people who bring you glory. Father, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you in a saving way, that you'd speak to their heart, Lord, that you would make their ear attentive. Lord, may we fear you like Noah did. May we have that holy, all reverential fear and honor of your sovereignty and of your power. And may we fall before you and worship you today. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So if you have your book, the table of contents, and the opening of that, the characters today are going to be Noah and his generation. It's going to be Noah and then his generation. And the title would be Build or Blaspheme. Are you going to build or are you going to blaspheme? Now, at the end of Genesis chapter 4, we are told of the godly line of Adam through Seth. And it says Seth had a son and named him Enosh. And those were the days when men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And then in Genesis 5, we have a godly line of from Adam through Seth that goes all the way to Noah. In chapter 4 of Genesis, we have the ungodly line of Cain. We saw one individual last week named Enoch who was born in that lineage, and Enoch had a revelation from God. When he had a son named Methuselah, his name meaning, upon his death it shall end. And it says, then he began to what? Okay, we got to preach that message last week's all over again. Walk with God. He began walking with God. And it was at that time he began walking with God. And so he had a life change moment during that time. And then Methuselah had Lamech. Lamech had a son and he named him Noah. Lamech was a man that was also looking for the promise. And we know that because of how he named him Noah, which means rest, because of the ground that was cursed. It tells us there in Genesis that Lamech said, maybe God will bring us rest under the curse. Well, where did the curse come? Genesis 3. What was Lamech looking forward to? He was looking for the promise from Genesis 3:15, when the curse came on man and Satan, and he said, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed, and you shall bruise his heel, but he will crush your head, speaking about what Jesus will do. And so Lamech is thinking, is this the promised one? You see, the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints are saved the same way, by grace through faith. The Old Testament saints were looking forward to the promise of the Messiah coming, of the Savior of the world coming, and we look back to the Savior of the world who came. And so Lamech has Noah. And then in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, it tells us about the corruption of mankind. That even though that there were some men of God in the godly line who raised their kids to know of the Lord, many of their children did not follow in their ways. And they began, just the sons of God and the daughters of men began intermingling, and they began just living life under their own rules and authority, not honoring God and living God under his principles, his ways. And the world became wicked, and the heart grew darker, and it became a mass chaos of ungodliness. It got so bad that Genesis 6:6 tells us that the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. You see, God is our creator. We are made in his image, and he expects his image bearers to reflect his glory and to give him honor. How would you feel if you created and your creation did not give you honor? It says that the Lord, he was sorry, and then it says that he says, I will blot out man that I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. He is grieved to the point of seeing all that's going on, and he says, there is no one, all of men's hearts are evil, much like when Jesus grieved over Jerusalem. We remember when Jesus went into Jerusalem and he looked over and he saw the city and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would love to gather you into me, into my wings, but you would not. You see, God has a tremendous amount of love that he loves the very ones he created. He loves mankind, yet, however, his love does wear thin and justice must be brought because of the evil that had happened. And though God is love, God is holy, and God is just, and God is a judge. And so judgment comes. Judgment is going to come. And the question for me to you is this: which path are you going to travel? Are you going to be path A and build for the kingdom of God and live for God's glory? Are you going to blaspheme and be like the generations of Noah and reject God? So even though God's judgment is about to be unleashed, God's mercy is yet revealed. And this is the God's grace here. In verse 8 of chapter 6, it says this: but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That word favor is grace. That is the first time that it is used in the Bible. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Just like Enoch had a revelation when Methuselah was born and his life was forever changed and he began walking with God, there was a moment when Noah didn't walk with God and didn't love God, but God radically saved Noah and changed him by his grace. The Bible says in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of works, so that no man should boast. Aren't you glad of the grace of God? And God, by his gracious, sovereign will, has favor upon Noah. And then in verse 9, it tells us these are the generations of Noah. Noah, he was a righteous man. He was blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Notice this. Verse 9 comes after verse 8. Did y'all catch that? That's deep, isn't it? Faith comes before faithfulness. Salvation comes before works of salvation. You have to know Jesus before you walk with Jesus. Amen? You got to be saved and changed. So when you are saved, when you know God, guess what? It changes your life. It changes your life. And what did it do for Noah? Well, it did three things. It said that he was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. What does that mean? It means he was declared not guilty. Just like when we come and profess our faith and repent of our sin and trust in the work of Jesus on the cross, we are justified. We are declared not guilty, okay? We are now in a position to where we have been set free from our sin, and when we stand before the judge, we have the verdict of not guilty. That's a good place to be in, amen? But not only does it mean that positionally he was declared not guilty, it means that he lived a righteous life. It means he did what was right. He actually lived a life of faithfulness to his God. He lived righteously. He didn't cut corners. He didn't lie. He didn't cheat. He didn't steal. He was a man who lived right before his God and before man. He wasn't over here doing his own thing. We could call that unrighteousness. The generation of Noah, they were just eating, drinking, doing their own thing. They didn't care about God, but Noah feared God, and he lived a righteous life. Let me ask you this question. If you're a believer in Jesus, are you living a righteous life? Are you living a right type of life? Are you living a life that honors God? Are you speaking with truth, speaking with God's word being the foundation of everything that you guide your life on? Are you honoring your spouse? Are you treating people and speaking and living your life right before God and man? It also says he was blameless. 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 Does that mean that Noah was perfect? Does it mean Noah was perfect? There was only one perfect person that's ever lived, and his name is who? Jesus. But it means that he lived a life of integrity. His word, when God told him to do something, he did it. And when he said he's going to do it, he did it. He lived a life of integrity. He was blameless. Now notice this. In your Bible, it says this. He was blameless in his generation. He was blameless in his generation. Well, what was going on in his generation? Most of the world wasn't concerned about God, but Noah was. Most of the world was doing their own thing, but Noah was doing what God called him to do. He was blameless in his own generation. Are you blameless in your generation? In 2017, could it be said of you, could it be said of me, that I am a righteous man and I am blameless in my own generation? Do I live my faith out in a genuine way everywhere I am? Am I the man of God at home? Am I the husband that loves his wife like Christ loved the church? Are you the wife that honors and respects her husband? Do you go to your workplace and do they see something different by the way that you live your life? Are you the best worker? Are you, when you go to work, guess what you're supposed to do? Work. Are you too busy on your Facebook? Huh? Are you being blameless in your generation? Are you being the person that is living different from this path? You're different from the generation. He is righteous. He is blameless in his generation. And it says he walked with God. There's that same thing that it said about Enoch. Says about Noah. He walked with God. He was in step with God. He was living his life to please God. He wasn't doing the things of the blasphemous generation was doing. He was seeking to not walk with the world, but to walk with God. Walking with God. Do you realize that Jesus also tells us we better be ready? Just like in the days of Noah, when he said, I'm about to end it all. Jesus teaches that he's coming back. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, but concerning the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days, those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. You've got to ask a question today. You've got to answer this question. Am I going to build or am I going to blaspheme? Am I going to live for God in my own generation? Or am I going to join the blasphemers and go with what the world is saying and do my own thing? We have all kinds of chaos that's going all around us. It is time for parents to be on their knees praying for their children, praying blessing over their children, walking in the ways of God so that the moms and the dads live a life of integrity, of righteousness, blamelessness, and walking with God that impacts their children. We have to begin worrying about the things that really matter. You know what? I'm afraid that the majority of this world and in our culture today are in the same way of Noah's generation, the blasphemers. Don't care about God, don't think about God, mock his word, the Bible. You don't believe the Bible, do you? No, we have more people concerned about the things of this world, about eating, drinking, and giving into marriage and doing your own thing, than we have the things of God. Would you agree? If I have to see another adult woman taking a selfie of herself, puckering her lips, I'm going to vomit. It's ridiculous. You know, I mean, we are living in a generation that is all about ourselves. You know what the major god in our country, our culture is right now? It is the god of self, or selfies. It is the god of self. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Huh? I mean, it is ridiculous what we're going on. We've got moms, grown women, thinking they're teenagers once again. I'm telling you what, hey, you can lift it, tuck it, nip it. You can do whatever you want. Gravity's going to come one day. It's falling. It's falling. There ain't nothing you can do about it. It ain't lasting forever. But we're over here in path B doing our own thing. Woohoo, drinking it up. Let's go to the parties. Let's don't worry about the things that really matter when we have children who are being abused every day in their homes. We got children going to school. They don't have any food. It's ridiculous that we have hunger in America. It is absolutely ridiculous. The only reason why we have hunger in America is not the fact that the government doesn't give enough money to do that. Is that we've got too many parents over here in this blasphemous generation doing their own thing and worried about them and not being parents the way they should be parents. I'm going to say it today, and somebody's got to say, hey, it's time to wake up because Jesus is coming soon. You better be ready. You better be ready. And if you're over here all about yourself, it's time to die to self today. It's time to lay down yourself and go over and start doing what God's called us to do. You know how we know that Noah was a believer? You know how we know Noah was truly a man of God? How do we know that Noah believed God? Because he built the boat. Because he built the boat. It says in Genesis chapter 6, 22, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. And in chapter 7, verse 5, and Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. God said, I want you to build a boat. I want you to build it this long, this wide. And guess what Noah didn't do? Noah didn't start a Bible study talking about building the boat. Now, I think you ought to be in Bible study, you ought to read your Bible. But I think the disease of the church and our culture is this. We like to flap our jaw, but we don't like to live it out. We like to talk the talk, but we don't like to walk the walk. But this year in 2017, guess what? It's time, church, that we walk it out. We don't just talk about it. We don't just talk about the possibilities of God. We walk in the possibilities of God. We just don't talk about living our life for Jesus. We actually walk our life in Jesus. We don't just talk about sharing our faith. Guess what? We actually share our faith. It's time that we quit talking and start walking and build the boat. So look at your neighbor and say, build the boat. You got to build the boat. So Noah, guess what he did? He got his hammer out. He got his nails out. And he started chopping down the trees. Then all the green earth people came and said, you can't destroy all these trees. And they had their protest signs, and they went in, and they did all kinds of rioting, and they had all of their, there was one, all their rights. I tell you what, when you go for your rights, you get what you deserve. And when you get what you deserve, you ain't going to like what you get. Because the wages of sin is death. It's appointed for man once to die. And then comes judgment. If I get what I deserve, and I live my life this way, I get hell. But if I experience God's grace, and I walk in His mercy, I get peace, heaven, everlasting life. I want to walk this path. What about you? God was patient in the days of Noah. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, says, God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. God was waiting. It is estimated, we don't know exactly how long it took for Noah to build a boat. At least around 75 years is a good number, that at least took about 75 years. 75 years, God, Noah was faithfully swinging that hammer every day. And every time he swung the hammer or cut the wood, he put the pitch on there with each board that was laid, every level that was erected, every step of the way. What was Noah doing? Noah was declaring his faith in God, and he was preaching repentance to the world, and he was saying, this world has nothing for me. Every day, guess what? You have the opportunity to pick up your hammer and start swinging and building the boat of righteousness and walking with God. With your integrity, the way that you live your life, the way that you treat other people, the way that you defeat sin, all of these things, every time that you love your wife like Christ loved the church, guess what you're doing, husbands? You're swinging the hammer. You're building the boat. Every time that you pray over your kids and you teach them the things of God, guess what you're doing? You're swinging the hammer. You're building the boat. When you go to work and you go and you work with integrity and honesty and you do things right because you realize you're not working for man, you're working for God, guess what you're doing? You're swinging a hammer. You're building the boat. Every day we're to be building that boat. We're to be swinging our hammer. Because why? God's patient. Why hasn't Jesus came back? He's patient. He's waiting for you to return. Why didn't he come back in those that particular day, at that time when Noah's building? Because he's waiting, but no one would repent. No one would turn. The men of God in the line of chapter 5 begin to die off. Enoch is taken away. Lamech dies. Methuselah, the oldest man to live, upon his death, the end shall come. I think it's interesting, and I think this shows the love of God. By allowing his grace to tarry and his patience to wait while the person who lived the longest upon the earth lived. For 969 years, God was waiting patiently for the hearts of men and women to turn back to him, but they would not. Methuselah breathes his last breath. God brings them to the ark. Noah is shut, and the rain begins to pour. And the Lord shut him in. In Revelation chapter 3, it says, when God shuts the door, no man can open. And when God opens the door, no man can shut. And God brought Noah and his family into the ark, and God closed the door. Methuselah is dead. The judgment is coming, and the rain begins to fall. Have you ever wondered what that day looked like? I'm sure there was still a little scoffing. What's this? Rain. And they start remembering this crazy man named Noah who was building a boat in the middle of nowhere. And I'm sure they mocked him and they laughed at him. And, you know, they were while they were doing their own thing, Noah was building a boat. Well, they were over there doing their drugs, drinking their alcohol, having their parties, doing their stuff. Noah was building a boat. And when the day came for the rain to come, Noah was inside the ark and everyone else was left out. And I wonder how many came running to that ark that day, banging on the walls. Noah! Noah, let us in. Let us in. You were right. We were wrong. And Noah says, I can't. God has closed the door. It's over. The chance of repentance is over. Judgment has come. You chose the path you wanted to walk. And this is what you get. And Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, wants to remind each and every one of us here today the same words that was given to Noah. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. Randy, you wrote a little booklet, didn't you? And it talked about the days of Noah. Do you realize by the American psychiatric statistics that the average teenager, the 18 years old, they will see 16,000 homicides by that television that we sit there and put them in front of? They will see over 200,000 violent acts of crime. Hollywood is not a banner of righteousness. They promote sexual immorality, evil, murder. Go watch a movie that doesn't have some type of violence in it. We live in a generation that promotes wickedness, that promotes sexual immorality, and we say that God's ways are wrong and man's ways are right. We live in days where people mock believers who say Jesus is coming back. Okay. Peter says, you know what? There's going to be people in the last days that they're going to mock it. And here's what else he says. Look at verse 4. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the very beginning of creation. For they deliberately, it says, overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed of water, through water, by the word of God, and that by the means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. He's talking about Noah. He's talking about the flood. He said, God judged the world once. And that by means of these, by the same word, the heavens and earth that exist are now what? Stored up for what? Fire being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. He will not destroy this world with water, but he is going to destroy this earth with fire. And there's coming a day that Jesus is coming back. And if we're living on the day of his return, guess what? That ark of the door, it's shut. Your chance of repentance is over. Here's the good news. Jesus came to make a way. Right now, we're living in a day of God's patience, of his grace, and the cross of Jesus has opened up the door to the ark. And he says, whosoever will come, let him come. That's why the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, for today is the day of salvation. if you want to get in the boat, if your chance to change paths is right now. Your opportunity to pick up the hammer and begin building the boat is now. You say, well, I might do it later. Guess what? When's Jesus coming back? I don't know. Soon. Well, how soon? I don't know. Soon. Guess what? Your life may end. You may not be here next week. So that's just a preacher. That's preacher talk. That's just you trying to scare me. No, that's reality. I have seen people in our church one Sunday and preaching their funeral before the next Sunday. It's not preacher talk. It's reality. There will be a day you breathe your last breath. And if you have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, your chance of grace is over. The time is now. The time to come is now. The time to be forgiven is now. The time to get your life right with God is now. The time to start building is now. What will you do? Which path are you going to choose? Will you come to Jesus and say, Jesus, man, I'm living over here in this wicked, blasphemous generation, doing my own thing, in love with myself, living life for me, and I'm sick of it. I'm ready to get on your path. He says, come. Would you come? What about you, believer, who for some reason, it seems like you keep sabotaging your own boat? You keep knocking holes in your own boat. You send texts you shouldn't text. You look at things you shouldn't look at. You make phone calls you shouldn't make phone calls on. You lie when you should be telling the truth. It's time to get that right. It's time to get that right. Because, see, we are supposed to build a boat. It's easy to be a Christian here on Sunday morning, isn't it? Oh, I feel so good. I feel so empowered, right? Great. This isn't the time. This isn't where your hammering's being done right now. This is, you know, Bible study and church worship. This is where you get a new grip on your hammer. This is where you go to pick up some more nails. This is where you come and get some more 2x4s and you walk out ready to build. And on Monday, you start laying them down and you start hammering. And you start living for God. Because it's easy to believe here. It's easy to worship here. But what about on Monday, Tuesday? What about at school? When nobody else at school is living for God, how will you swing there? Or at workplace, at the lunchroom, when all the guys are doing their guy talk. You still swing then? You still building that boat then? How well you swinging? How well you building? I want to build. What about you? I want to build the boat that God has called me to be. And I want to provide a vote for the salvation of my family. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I love my wife. I love my children. And I don't want to do anything to destroy them knowing him. What about you, Dad? What about you, husband? Let's pray. Father, Lord, today we have an opportunity. You have set before us. We can either pick up the hammer of faith and begin swinging it for your glory and obeying your word and walking our life for you. Or we can mock, ridicule, do our own thing, live life our way, be our own God, and fall in love with ourselves. We have a choice. And today I pray that you would break hearts and that you would help us to see your grace and mercy and your purpose for our life that is so better than anything that we could do in our own efforts. Speak to us, God. And may we obey. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, and let's respond. Let's come. For whatever purpose, whatever reason, even if you just need to come and pray for someone else, please, the altar is open. Let's pray.